Are you living in a bubble? It used to be that that was a bad thing. Like, oh, you're living in a bubble. Get out of your bubble. Now, in the pandemic, some people are choosing to live in a bubble and decide who you want to interact with, what kinds of things you feel comfortable doing, that sort of thing. Let's talk about it. Some advice and some ideas about how people are coping in these times. Kirsten Book is a psychiatric nurse practitioner, Northwestern Medicine, Central DuPage Hospital. Thanks, Kirsten. How you doing? Kirsten, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
So tell me about this bubble. I know you've really been outspoken about this. What are you seeing? What are you hearing from patients? You know, I know you talk about personal boundaries and setting those during the pandemic. Tell me what are you hearing?
Well, I think that a lot of people think, automatically boundaries, oh, those are easy to set. But when we come into this situation where it's really about self-preservation, both physically and emotionally, this pandemic has really put this whole nation in a difficult situation. There's social, political, emotional upheaval that's very distressful. And so setting boundaries, I think, particularly for women, can be challenging. And I guess the main reason that one would set a boundary just in particular in general is to keep oneself safe. And that doesn't just mean physically, in this case with COVID, but also emotionally, socially. You know, boundaries are there to help us navigate through this unknown time. It's kind of like the one route we can grab onto. It's the one known constant is that, this is what I'm comfortable with, XYZ, like I am not comfortable with leaving the house. That could be one person's boundary. Whereas there's some people that, are comfortable traveling to different states on the airplane. So, everybody has their own personal comfort zone of, how to protect themselves, during this time.
Yeah, and it seems like being respectful of those boundaries is important. I know my mom has got underlying health conditions, so she doesn't like to venture even into the grocery store. She doesn't like to go to any of these places. And we all want her to see the grandkids, and so you're sort of like, you feel it. There's part of me that feels, tugging on her a little bit, and then I feel like, no, let's figure out a way to do this, that's comfortable for her. And so we end up meeting outside and just doing whatever she's comfortable with, we're comfortable with.
Right.
That's hard.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is a time where you start to realize, wow, like I really do have to put myself first. It's kind of like you got to put your oxygen mask on first. You have to take care of yourself if you're going to be able to available to help family members or friends. And it's, it is difficult. I have, there's grandkids can't see their grandparents or, someone may be immunocompromised and, they may be stuck at home and, other people may not have those issues to deal with. But it's really about, in setting a boundary, it's really about being firm, consistent, assertive, but mainly just being honest, using I statements, I statements help communicate what's important to each individual. It can diffuse kind of an anxious, tense situation when you say, for example, I enjoy spending time with you, but I would appreciate if we could just chat via Zoom instead of meeting for dinner. So it kind of takes any defensiveness away from that. And I would say just communicating your boundaries ahead of time, it helps provide clarity so there's no, expectations. Like, those are known up front. And I also think it's important that you show, you thank people and you show gratitude for people who are respecting your boundaries and practicing the safe distancing precautions. But I think it's kind of during this time of COVID, it's really about like being fluid and it's about adjusting to this unknown. The phases change and they have been changing, kind of going back and forth with what's safe, what's not. And so it's really important that, you set the boundary, but knowing that you're going to constantly be reassessing that as, this continues to go on.
You seem like very, great advice, Kirsten. Tell me what is the best ways that you've seen to tell people to put on a mask Because this causes problems in certain environments that I've seen. Right. And when it's not handled correctly, even if it's a member, a server telling a customer or whatever the case may be, you got any advice on that for us that can help us all?
This did happen. I had someone that I knew that, we were sitting at dinner and they were coming up pretty close to me. And, I just looked at them. I just said, oh, can you please, just very non-confrontational, non-judgmental, just very open thing, almost jokingly. Can you just remember put your mask on, and actually there are some times I walk out of my office and, I won't have my mask on, like, just with me in the office, and I'll walk out there, and I'm like, oh, my God, I don't have my mask on. And people will just, like, motion, like, put their hand up to their face, and I'm like, oh, my God, I got to go get my mask. So, there are literally nonverbal ways that you can show someone, but a lot of times I tend to kind of go the more casual, assuming that the other person's, not doing that on purpose to expose me. And it kind of helps diffuse, any tense situation.
Yeah. There are discussions with even households, outside the household is one thing, but even within married couples or significant others where people are not on the same page. And so it's sort of like, let's figure out where we are and, make it work. I mean, I guess it's okay if one member of the couple wants to do one thing and one doesn't, but I don't know if that makes both people feel all that comfortable.
Right. And, what's difficult is, one spouse, they may be working from home and, maybe the husband is going into work every day and, maybe sitting next to people just, 6 feet apart, but, just more exposed to possibly the virus. So even though they live at home together, they're still coming from different, really, risk levels. That person who's working from home would actually just be at the same risk because, he's coming home from, the outside. So it does kind of mesh all together, even though, people may not think it does.
Kirsten, is there a place where Northwestern Medicine has some resources on this kind of thing? Some of the tips you have, is there a place to go for this?
I know that on our website, we do have a lot of resources, and I am going on there right now. Actually, just right on the website, there's COVID-19 resources and updates that are available, and they're constantly updated, with the new events that are going on. So, this is something, boundaries is always something that, I teach my patients. Because it is, communicating one's limitations and really kind of advocating for yourself to take care of yourself and honor your own choice. And so, working with patients, with mental health issues, like sometimes that can be challenging. And I think it's challenging for everyone in general. And so, it's something I'm interested in.
Good to know that we have the resources there. I know Northwestern Medicine's got a lot of stuff there. I've checked out your website myself in the past, so update it all the time and use it. It's there. Kirsten, thanks for calling in today, and enjoy your weekend and your afternoon.
You too. All right, thank you.